This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Sorts of retro vintage vibes this week with our episode. We have such a cool guest here. Before we tell you about her, what do you want to talk about?
Ooh, I cannot wait to fill you guys in on our fab slumber party with Charlotte Tilbury.
So freaking chic.
I never wanted it to end. I'm still wearing my pajamas. Not really. The pants are actually the dry cleaner.
Okay.
Anyway, then we're going to fill you in on our New Year's resolutions, a little bit of a check-in. The Consumer Electronics Show just wrapped. We're going to tell you about some of the beauty tech that was spotted there.
Yeah.
And who's our guest this week?
It's Poppy King, the Australian fabulousness. She's the founder of Lipstick Queen. She's written a couple books. She's going to get us all into retro lipstick vibes and teach us all about fairy tales and wonderfulness.
The slumber party.
Oh my God, too hot for TV. That was so much fun.
Okay, what happened? Just give the basics for everybody.
Okay, let me set the scene. We walked into each of our rooms and there was a pair of Fleur de Mal.
Charlotte Tilbury hosted a slumber party in New York City.
Yes, I'm bearing the lead. Yes. She hosted a slumber party at the Standard in the East Village. We each got our own bedrooms. I mean, this woman is pure class. Like, she does not do anything in halves. We all walked into our rooms. There were a pair of silk pajamas, not like some chintzy silk, like heavy, luxurious silk. Each of us had our own pair of personalized pajamas.
You're really into the pajama part of the pajama party.
I'm sorry. I love pajamas, and I love nice pajamas. And if they're personalized or monogrammed, like, even better.
It was enough to get me to put on pink, people. That's how good they were. Okay.
Gorgeous. I slipped in, and I'll get to that in a second. Hold on. The skincare. We went up to the penthouse. There were hors d'oeuvres, snacks. We had a big, like, you know, girly gab fest with lots of champagne, and we watched Some Like It Hot, projected onto the wall, and we just kind of had a big sesh with Charlotte.
Yeah, the whole point, I thought, was everybody knows her for her makeup. Like, her makeup's fabulous, and she has these undersung hero products of skincare. So she was trying to reintroduce us to her skincare and a new mask she has coming out, which we'll talk about later, but I love her magic cream. I was, like, slathering that all over my body. It's amazing.
The magic cream I mean, she came out with that a few years ago. I remember there was a little, like, she just sent editors, like, a little tiny pot because she was that desperate to get it out. Like, it was in a sample thing. I went through that stuff in, like, literally a weekend. It is, if you're tired, if you're hungover, if you just, if you feel fat, anything, you put that on, you are bathed in light.
Yeah, you're, like, glowy and fabulous.
It's...
Can I say one more thing about the pajamas, though?
Yeah.
So I put on the damn pajamas, and I got up there. P.S.
You only put on the top.
I was not about to put on pink satin pants.
And you have nice legs.
It's not happening. So I had on my, like, black jeans. We get up there, and all the editors are in, like, these loose, loungy pajama pants. Then we see Charlotte come around the corner. Hers fit her like a glove. They were fabulous and tailored, and she had like a little bit of a lacy bra peeking out. And I was like, you are straight out of Central Casting for like a Hitchcock movie. I think she got her pajamas tailored.
Oh, definitely. Those
she looked amazing. Like, and there was like a little, she was wearing a heel, like a velvet heel with it.
So cool.
I mean, she's not going to show up to her own party, so like, cool. You know, like keep like pulling up the pants, like underwear panty line sticking through.
I know this sounds like we just bragged about hanging out with Charlotte Tilbury. And guess what? That is kind of what we're doing.
It was amazing. If you haven't tried the Magic Cream, you guys, you know I would never suggest you buy like a $100 moisturizer. That sounds insane, but I believe in this product so much that if you're thinking about it, if you're considering it, try it. If you think it stinks, write me an email, make it nasty, and I promise you, like, you know, I can take it. I believe in it that much.
Baby, bend over. Baby, bend over.
If you guys remember, a couple weeks ago, New Year's, we made some resolutions. It's time for a check-in. Jess, how's that chi flowing?
Ooh, I feel it flowing.
What's making
it flow?
Well,
it's flowing as of today because things were a little backed up for a few days.
Because you're constipated?
No, that's TMI, even for our lovely Fat Mascara listeners. No. I was, like, my muscles were really tight or just kind of sore because I went to hot yoga with you, if you don't remember.
It was my first, we went on Sunday, it was my first hot yoga class ever. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay. Was it that obvious in the class?
No, you were doing well. It was my second hot yoga class. I'm not actually super in, I hate the heat, guys. Like, in the summer in the city, I'm always planning my, like, exodus to Scotland.
Yeah.
It's just, like... too much. But I actually was really excited to go to Sweat because I've heard amazing things.
Oh, yeah.
Things.
We went to Sweat Yoga where they do like yoga. A form of vinyasa flow yoga in a 102 degree room. Did you know that room was 102 degrees?
If I knew that it was 102, I probably would have had doubts. But it was actually really like, you know, I was able to do it. And I told you I hate the heat. And I actually felt kind of like zen and chill. And I was, you saw me. I was okay. I love the fact that it was like there was music that wasn't just like, or just like complete silence, because one time I went to yoga class that was like literally silence. I think that was like their philosophy, so you could be alone with your thoughts. No thanks. But it was just like they were playing like, well, I know you love, they play Beyonce.
They had Beyonce at one point when we were doing core work, and I was like, yes. I looked over at Jess. She just rolled her eyes at me.
I know. I'm like the one person that is not like a Beyonce person. Sorry.
But you liked the movements and everything?
I liked the movements. They did one movement that was amazing that I've literally been doing at home, like, for my boyfriend. Not, like, in a sexy way, just, like, in front of the television. Wild thing.
Yes.
Any yogis out there, you know what I'm talking about.
It's like a downward dog, and then you invert it. You flip
over. You put your nose, your knee to your nose, like, as if you're about to do, like, some kind of cool ballerina move. And then you kick it out, and then as you're kicking it out, you flip your whole body.
Into, like, a crab position.
Yes, and then you, like, throw your arm up in the air.
You're so making it very violent. It's a smooth, flowing
cool.
motion.
It's maybe mine was just violent. I felt like everyone was so graceful, and then I'd hear my own hand go, like, I just kept on hearing, and it was just me.
Well, because also, you're covered in sweat, so everything's, like, slappy sounding. I liked it, too, but I do have one beauty tip for yoga, for everybody out there. Guys, here's the tip. So remember my New Year's resolution of putting body lotion on?
Yes.
It's a great resolution, except before hot yoga.
Oh, my God, were you slipping?
I did, yes. Every time I put my palm down, and I hadn't even applied lotion just a couple minutes before. It had been like hours before. My hands would like slip out from under me on that mat because I was all like greased up like a pig. I don't like, do not put on body lotion. Do not put on body lotion before hot yoga at all. I would posit to say maybe after when your pores are all open would be a great time to put on body lotion. But if you're going to do hot yoga, keep it dry.
Keep it dry. Yeah, exactly. And I thought the whole thing was just really lovely. Oh, and the woman came over with like cool minty hot towels or something.
Lavender. They were lavender. Best part of the whole class.
Yeah.
So.
And try. I like trying something new.
Yeah. Try it, guys.
That's gonna be
hot yoga, and our skin looked freaking amazing after, if I may say so.
Oh yeah, check out the gram.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Domo. Domo.
So Jen, last week we missed a big happening.
What's that?
Wasn't beauty specific, but there was some hot beauty. It was the Consumer Electronics Show.
In Vegas.
Mm-hmm. That's where there's a lot of cool like consumer gadgets that you and I will be able to buy like very soon.
Yeah, they do it every year in January. It's one of the hugest conventions. But I was pretty happy to see there was some beauty stuff this year.
Can you tell us a little bit about those beauty gadgets?
Well, there's a couple that I zeroed in on. There's the high mirror. We actually just wrote about this at Marie Claire. You basically look in the mirror every day and it takes a picture and tracks your skin progress. You're like, great, so I can know how many wrinkles I have. But it also has a positive side in that, like, if you're using a new product, you can see, is it working? Mm-hmm. So there was the high mirror. Mm-hmm. There's Modiface, which is like another skin analyzer and another makeup analyzer that shows you what you'll look like with makeup on, and then the Kerastase Smart Brush, I think it was called.
Yes, that's very buzzy right now.
Oh, were you into that?
I'm actually really into this thing.
Tell me, because okay. I didn't look closely at what okay. that was.
The Kerastase Hair Coach, and it's powered by Yvings. I think that's how you pronounce it. So they've worked with this like technology company. So basically, it's a brush that has a lot of different sensors on it, including a microphone, and the microphone uses the sound, like this is like very like Mission Impossible technology. It uses the sound of your hair brushing to ID patterns that give you like insight into how manageable your hair is, how frizzy it is, how dry it is, any split ends, breakage. It also has this thing called like a gyroscope that helps analyze how you're brushing your hair.
Oh, I get it. So like if you are wobbling around the brush mm-hmm. a lot, it means you have tangly hair,
exactly.
I would guess.
Exactly. Yeah. How vigorous you're brushing your hair if you're really hard on it. If you are like brushing, if you're brushing out wet or dry hair, like it basically gives you lots of information into like your habits, how healthy your hair is. If you're somebody who's really into your hair, not like in like a Fonzie way, but like...
Who's Fonzie?
You don't know who Fonzie is? From Happy Days.
Oh.
Like, I like always like touching his hair.
Oh, okay.
Like, oh, like looking at yourself in the mirror.
I was picturing that bear.
Oh, that's from Fonzie.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Girl, get your like TV stars right.
Okay.
But like...
So if you're the Fonz.
If you're someone who has problematic hair... if you are somebody who has like hair, you know, thinning, if you're trying to grow your hair, I think that this is a really cool tool. I did read some like feedback that
I'm going to give you some feedback.
Oh, all right, Jen, give me the feedback.
No, I'm just thinking, why do I need a microphone and a gyroscope to tell me my hair is knotty?
I think the same reason...
Like, I could put a brush through it and be like, oh, it's knotty today.
But, no, things like breakage, split ends, like, your hair is... I think there's only so much you can look at. It's almost like your skin. Like, you can't see what's going on with your skin cells or your wrinkles or your sun damage. Your hair, you can look at it and be like, oh, it looks like crap today, or like, oh, my hair is frizzy. But you can't really see what's going on with damage or, like, you know, your inner
cortex.
So I
brush my hair with this brush, and then I get some feedback, probably on an app, I'm guessing. You tell me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. And it says, your hair is, you know, 40% broken, and maybe the microphone said it was really rough, or however it works.
Yeah.
And then what? Does it tell me what to do?
Well, yeah, you buy this at a Kerastase salon.
Okay.
And, like, I think the app will give you recommendations.
Of Kerastase products,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, but, you know, I think if you're, like, a Kerastase fan or, you know, you really are, like, investing in your hair, and if you're spending $200 on this thing, you're investing in your hair. So I see it the same way as, like, the mirror you were talking about. Like, if you're using, you know, skin cream, if you have, like, a $300 regimen by the time you add it all up, is it actually working? This mirror will tell you, yes, your skin is improving. If you're buying Kerastase shampoo, which is like $30 for a shampoo, or any real, like, you know, expensive hair regimen, don't you want to know that it's actually working? Like, at least this, you know, $200, I mean, that's really expensive, but this will tell you rather than just like, I think my hair feels better.
You're right. So then you get your numbers back and you're like, wow, in the last month, my hair has gotten, you know, X percentage smoother or something. That's a good point. So basically, you're just justifying the money you spent.
Yeah, it just takes $200.
It's $200?
Yeah, it's a $200 brush.
You know what I'm going to do with this brush?
What?
I'm going to buy it. It's got a microphone. Mm-hmm. Remember when you were little and like you sang into your hairbrush and had like a whole karaoke moment? You never did that?
I didn't use a hairbrush. I just like went for it.
You can brush your hair with it and get about like all the information. I am going to have like an in the mirror singing moment with my Karasau smart brush.
You don't think this is cool technology?
I think we should get one in and try it. Don't you?
I do.
Do you know when it's going to be available?
The middle of 2017. So the middle of this year.
Okay. So early summer probably.
Yeah.
All right. We're totally going to revisit this once we get it.
But you don't think that this is like that? This is a like a real thing?
I just worry sometimes that these tech companies see women out there with money and they're like, let's just throw some tech at this beauty world for tech's sake and for the sake of like getting dollars and marketing and buzz even. Look at us talking about this. Mm-hmm. When do I really need a brush? I'd rather like the Jetson helmet thing that I stick over my head and it does my hair. Like, if we're going to go techie, like, give me some real tech.
But what about, like, Fitbits and stuff like that?
Yeah,
like
I'm not. Yeah, I tried it all, and I'm like, I don't need numbers.
Well, I don't use a Fitbit because I don't want to know about, like, you know, how many
I
steps
think that's
I'm
another
getting.
One. Like, everybody got one because it was cool and buzzy, right. But, like, how much are people really using it? Even the Apple Watch, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, they don't
thanks.
Use it as much. You know, you're just putting in tech because you can.
Yeah.
Is that a good enough reason?
No, I don't want to know. There are certain things I don't want to know. Like, I don't want to know how many calories I'm eating. I don't want to know that, like, I didn't get enough sleep.
Maybe some people
thing.
Don't want to know their hair is damaged.
Yeah, no, I do want to know stuff like that.
Okay, so we're going to get one of these. It's happening.
Okay. We'll recon in July.
All right, it's not often that we talk about supplements, but when we do, you know that we mean it, all right? Every day I do my skincare routine, and that is a cleanse. I moisturize. Of course, I pop a little antioxidant in there. I'll do a little serum underneath there. But what is non-negotiable for me lately is I take a supplement. That is my Ritual Hyacera. It's a wrinkle support skin supplement, which is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and improve skin smoothness. I'll take that.
I'll take it too. Ritual Hyacera is a once daily skin supplement. Jess said clinically proven. Let me give you the deets. In a clinical study, Hyacera led to a 3.6 time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles within 90 days as compared to placebo. Jess and I have been taking it more than 90 days. Let me tell you, it works. Plus, Ritual Hyacera has led to a 2.9 times increase in skin smoothness in the same amount of times. It's rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. You don't always know if a supplement does that. Ritual also has industry-leading sustainability standards. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, love that, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. Plus, female-founded, B Corp, meaning they're holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of the people and our planet. You gotta love that.
Yes, okay. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust.
Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off. Okay, everyone, guess what I did last night? I slept in my Honeylove bra. I don't think I've ever slept in a bra before. Usually, I am so excited to take off my bra at the end of the day, there would be no chance I would lay down in it. But Honeylove bras are that comfortable. And if you're someone who does like to sleep in a bra for a little extra support, I feel like the Honeylove crossover bra should be your sleeping bra. Did I just coin a thing, sleeping bra? I don't know if they'll approve of that, but I love the idea. Obviously, you're gonna wear it out all the time too, because Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for uncomfortable wires. Plus, they're made with a fabric that's so soft, it feels like a second skin. Is it spring cleaning time in your house? I know it is in mine. Clean out your bra drawer, get a few from Honeylove. They have the V-neck bra that's smooth and seamless and hardware free. And then my personal favorite is the crossover bra with adjustable straps and a hook back closure. And of course, again, no underwire in that one either. The Honeylove supportive bonding lifts and supports without those uncomfortable wires. And while you're at it, why not pair your Honeylove bra
with their matching shapewear or maybe a pair of their breathable, versatile leggings. Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. It's honeylove.com/mascara. And then after you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we here at Fat Mascara sent you. Honeys, you deserve this. Again, that website is honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. Okay, so there are some stories about my mom's life that I never get tired of hearing, and they're usually the ones in which she's trying to right some injustice and then ends up annoying the people in power, and I love that about her. Anyway, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve memories and stories for the mother figure in your life or any of your family or chosen family. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. The prompts are really good. The kind of things we asked guests here at Fat Mascara, little things like what's your favorite board game? And more important things like what's the best advice you've ever gotten? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to the email with a story, long or short, doesn't matter. You'll be emailed a copy of what they wrote, but they'll also be collected. So you'll get to enjoy the retelling of the stories and probably learn some new things in the process. Then after that year of fun, Storyworth automatically compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book. Even though I know some of my mom's best stories, I love that the weekly prompts are helping to uncover more details and that they'll be collected in one place for me to revisit and read through. Don't think I'm not going to pull this keepsake book out at our next family get together to share some of them. Listen, everyone loves Storyworth. It has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/mascara. That's storyworth.com/mascara to save $10 on your first purchase. Extraordinarily nice. She's a killer.
We're here with Poppy King, the founder of Lipstick Queen, an author two times over, beauty entrepreneur, the woman we go to when we need makeup history lessons. I mean, she's the expert on lips and lipsticks. Welcome to Fat
Thank
Mascara.
You.
Poppy King!
Thank you. I love the name, you know, kind of takes me back to 2000, what was that, how many calorie mascara?
Oh, 2,000 calorie mascara.
Mascara. Yeah.
Mascara.
It's very retro cool.
But we're gonna go to lips for a moment instead of lashes. So before we get into your company and your books, let's just start at the beginning. What was your very first experience with lipstick?
Okay, so I really, really can remember it as if it was yesterday, and it sure as hell wasn't. It was a long time ago now. So I was about 7 years old, and my mother is, I'm from Australia, that's the accent, you know. but I lived in New York for 14 years. But so my mother is a knitwear designer in Australia. Like, she hand makes these beautiful knitwear pieces, and she used to travel quite a bit to London and Paris. I mean, I'm making it sound extremely posh, but it wasn't. It was very bohemian, shall we say. And she'd go to London and Paris, and she'd come back with her suitcase filled with these sort of magical things from, you know, from across the seas. And one of the things she had was Bieber lipstick from London. There was this brand in the 70s called Bieber. They've sort of tried to revive
it. Like Justin Bieber?
No. Not like Justin, like as in B-I-B-A.
They
Bieber.
Tried to bring that back about like 15 Holland years ago or something.
Yeah. They tried. It was kind of like Mary, there's Mary Quant and Bieber with a sort of mod, sort of like, you know, sort of trendy brands in the sort of 60s and 70s in swinging London, you know. And so my mother came back one time with these Bieber lipsticks. And I remember sneaking off with one of those, like going down the hall and kind of like, and going into her bedroom and sort of with the lipstick. And standing in front of this kind of like imposing mirror and all this, you know, just all this sort of big adult worlds, and then putting on this lipstick, like, and I sort of knew that it was going to change how I looked on the outside because I'd seen my mother do it. But what really, really surprised me was that how it made me feel on the inside, like kind of like suddenly I felt kind of like a superhero. Like I'd put on a superhero cape and kind of I was able to do things with lipstick on that I wouldn't be able to do without lipstick on, you know. And it was kind of like that connection with kind of like the idea that anything is possible now that I've got lipstick on, you know. And it was, and even though obviously, you know, I wouldn't have articulated that way, that connection never lost me, of kind of like the fascination with what lipstick did to me on the inside,
yeah,
which sort of the outside was sort of more of sort of like just circumstantial, but the inside change. And
you never took it off again.
I did. I took it off because otherwise my mother would have been picked up by child services, I think, if I was wandering around 7 years old with the lipstick on. And so then by the time I got to sort of be a teenager and wear lipstick, you know, on weekends and stuff, it was the 80s. So it's hard enough being a teenager, mm-hmm. let alone being a teenager in the 80s, even though I know that's what all the kids are doing again, that 80s look, you know. Mm-hmm. It certainly didn't suit me. And so I kind of was sort of trying to figure out my own look, and I realised that sort of the 1940s was sort of more, I looked better when I emulated the 40s than I did when I emulated the 80s. Mm-hmm. So I started sort of doing more of an old-fashioned look with my makeup, and or old Hollywood look with my makeup, and I couldn't find any lipsticks. Like all the lipsticks that I sort of went round to buy, they either didn't have the texture or the finish of kind of like 1940s style sort of TCM classic movie lipsticks.
Right.
Or they didn't have, and the marketing was somehow didn't make me feel like how I felt when I was seven. Like you know, I'd go to these counters in Australia, and like the lipsticks would be called things like Tangerine Dream or Pink Chiffon Frosted, or it's kind
of
like
they didn't have the power of that lipstick, that Bieber lipstick.
They didn't have the power. Well,
wait, what color was the Bieber lipstick?
It would have been some ox blood sort of color. You know, it was.
I love
it.
She doesn't even say red. She says ox.
Yeah, it was like it was fierce.
I felt capable of dealing with more with my lipstick on than with lipstick on versus
totally understand. For a big meeting I'll put lipstick
exactly on. And you know what, that's at the core of anybody, like if you actually, like that's the thing, lipstick is such a misunderstood product in many, many ways, in terms of it's really not something that women do because they feel pressure from men to do it. In fact, I'm sure you gals know most men on the whole don't really like lipstick, you know, they mm-hmm. kind of like see it as, you know, barrier to entry, you know, so
you know, like it from afar, but then thinking about kissing it,
and so, although there's a quote in my book, I wish it was my quote, but there's a quote in the book that says, be with someone who ruins your lipstick, not your mascara.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that, yeah.
That's the quote for this episode.
Be with someone who ruins your lipstick, not your mascara. So anyway, but so it's actually misunderstood in the sense that it's really, I think most women, if they tell you what they're really doing when they put lipstick on, is they are trying to make themselves feel more ready, more capable for what they have to deal with. You know, it is an empowering product, not because of that sort of sense of capability and possibility.
Sure.
Very much, as I said before, like a superhero cape. Like if you think about it, all other cosmetics either correct or conceal or enhance. Like every other cosmetic mm-hmm. you buy, like, okay, so mascara enhances your eyelashes, eyeshadow enhance or correct or conceal. Lipstick's the only thing that really transforms, like what you feel,
right, you're is not
your
going
whole mood. Do you know what I mean? Like, kind of, you put your eye makeup on, and yes, you feel enhanced and more. But lipstick, you put one lipstick on, and you're in a certain, and you can be in a flirty mood. You put another one on, and you're in a like
so true.
Vamp mm-hmm. mood. You know, vampy mood. You're in another one on, and you're in like kind of like a subdued mood. You know, it's just it's mood related.
And Tangerine Dream in the 80s was not giving you the mood.
It
you
looked hideous on me. It just didn't work for me at all. And so that's when I kind of, so when I was at school, sort of pottering around, you know, not doing, sort of doing everything other than what you're supposed to be doing, which is your actual homework. But I just was sort of on the weekends, my friends and I were going to nightclubs, and in Australia you have to be 18 to, that's the legal, it's not. So we had to try, we were sort of like 15, 16, we had to try and look 18, which meant lots of makeup, you know, to get past the doorman.
Yes.
And so we were wearing so much makeup. And that was when sort of on the weekends that I was like wearing sort of like a lot of makeup, but I wanted to look sort of like 1940s. And so it wasn't really a business idea until I finished high school, and I found myself suddenly high school finished, kind of like, oh my God, I didn't even give any thought to what I didn't really think about what I want to do. What do I want to do? And then that's when I kind of thought maybe I should start a lipstick brand.
And which brand was that?
That was called Poppy. And that I had that brand for 10 years. And, you know, because of what I said to you about how I felt so unempowered by the shade names and all that kind of stuff, and when I felt that lipstick was an empowering product, and then you had these kind of really kind of insipid names that sounded like they should be for Beaver Cleaver's mother, you know, like, I don't know, like for June Cleaver.
Peaches and cream.
You know, yeah. Like kind of, even though I've got a bit of a June Cleaver look going. But when I decided, when I had seven lipsticks when they first came out, I was going to call them after the seven deadly sins, which I did. That was my second range.
Yeah.
But my first range, my mother said to me, people may not understand, you know, kind of like a line of lipsticks called Lust and, you know, like kind of, because it was so different back in 1992, you know. So I'd thought, well, all right, I'll turn them into positive words, but I'll keep with the idea of calling them emotions versus colours. I've called it versus mocha, brown or this or that, you know, but actual just sort of emotion. So at the time, because remembering I was like 17, 18 at this time, I was obsessed with Ayn Rand and the Fountainhead, you know, as one is at that stage.
Yes.
You know, somebody said like
college girl.
Oh, I
thought
it was so original.
This is such a college girl.
And
thing.
We all do. We all think we're the only one that's ever read the Fountainhead. When you know what I mean? Then you kind of realize that it, you know, it's like a rite of passage. I wish I could remember this fabulous quote about the Fountainhead or Ayn Rand about something like if you never ever sort of visited that, you have no heart, but if you stay with that ideology, you have no heart or something. It's a great quote, but I'm not doing it justice. But anyway, so the first seven words I took out of Ayn Rand's introduction to the Fountainhead, and that was ambition, power, courage, integrity, inspiration, unity, and liberty.
It's so funny, like there are brands right now who are doing stuff just like this and they think they're like really on the cutting edge.
Well, I wasn't even the cutting edge though, like kind of like that was kind of like what I remembered in my mind, that sort of like Bieber lipstick, everything I was doing was just kind of like trying to remember what Bieber lipsticks were like, do you know what, and it's pre-internet.
They didn't have those names, but in my mind they did. So you've written two books. The most recent one we're very excited about. It's right here, The A to Z of Lipstick. But there was one before called Lessons of a Lipstick Queen. And I thought one of the coolest things, one of the best lessons from your first book, was not a beauty lesson at all. It was really, this is what I took from it, so you tell me. It was really like to be ballsy.
Exactly.
Right? It was like, it was really just like go for it and not feel like you need to be like some kind of like ordained expert in something. Like I think what you said, like, you know, to get your foot in the door, didn't you just like call a big retailer and just introduce yourself?
Yeah, big retailer called Barney's New York. So do you want me to tell that story?
Yes, tell the story.
Okay, so the two things that like people's eyes pop out of their head, like kind of like when I tell my story, and I teach it at, you know, just sort of guest teach at FIT, entrepreneurship, and, you know, so, and the two things that just surprise people so much is that first they say, where did you find a factory, you know, to make lipsticks when you first, like, you didn't know it? And when I tell them that I found it in the Yellow Pages, like this was pre-Google, so kind of like literally looked up cosmetic manufacturers. And the second thing where people's eyes were, how did you get into Barney's? And I said, well, the Yellow Pages. So basically, I went, but you know, there's a moral to the story. I came to New York to have a look around because to see what was happening. Because by that stage, my business was really successful in Australia, and I thought I'd better go overseas and see what's going on in the rest of the world, you know. And somebody told me to go to Barney's, which was on 17th and 7th Avenue. It's back there now, but that's where they used to be, just downtown in Chelsea before it was on Madison Avenue. And I went there and I thought, this store is fantastic, you know. And I went back to my hotel room and I looked up Barney's corporate offices and I rang the number and just said, you know, hello, can I speak to the cosmetic buyer, please? And kind of like, you know, didn't expect to actually get the cosmetic buyer, sort of came and said, hello. And so basically, and I told them my story and they loved it, and da, 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 you know, P.S., you know, I'm in Barney's to this day. Like, kind of like Barney's, I've known Barney's. Barney's have been part of my entire adult life. Hence the reason why, yes, I was going to say.
And it really, like, launched your career.
Yeah, it launched my career in the States. But the more exactly what you said, though, Jess, in terms of kind of, like, the fact is like, I guess the point of that book is kind of, like, until you really, it's as overset as it is, like it can't be stated enough, is like you just try. You just don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
you have to put the work into it.
Success is hard. Yeah, success is success, you know, success and failure, which they go together. You don't ever have one without the other, you know. Mm-hmm. You just kind of like it ebbs and flows. And if you know what to do with failure, then you go on from failure to have even more success, because sort of failure teaches you what you don't know. Success sort of confirms what you already had a hunch, you know, kind of like, but failure sort of teaches you, okay, now I get that. Now I understand that part of it. And, you know, like, now let me add that to what I know and then go on further, you know. And so in terms of like success and failure go together. And it's just,
what were your big failures in this whole lipstick journey?
Oh, my God, how long do we have? I mean, I've had so many in terms of some that are just incredibly obvious, more so in Australia, because in Australia, my business, went into Chapter 11. I'm trying to think of what the terminology is in here. Chapter 11 in 1998 when I was about 26. So I'd had it for about four or five years. I can't remember. And I had an issue with business partners, and so I had a sort of like a massive public, and it went on from that and got sold, and kind of like, you know, I sort of like, you know, I saved it from the flames type thing, but it did go crashing down, kind of like. So I mean, there's so
that's not like a creative failure though. Did you ever have like a product where you were?
Yeah,
you,
I mean,
it was,
I think,
amazing, and everybody was just like,
no. I've had products that I've been sort of like, it's more, I've had products, because the three things I try to do, you know, in any lipstick is either or. These three things, like excite the imagination and or solve a problem and or speak a truth, right? So excite the imagination, solve a problem or speak a truth, or preferably all three. So for example, something like Black Lace Rabbit, the sheer black one, you know, that I have. So that's really an excite the imagination, like kind of like in terms of the idea of like stockings, because it looks like stockings on your lips. So that's an imaginative idea, like a lipstick looks like stockings on your lips. You know, solve a problem, like kind of like you can take any colour, put that black over the top, that sheer black, and it kind of deepens it and kind of like makes it into more of a winter shade from a summer shade, or kind of, you know, so it's functional.
Like, and it's hardly a problem, but like anyone who's interested in black lipstick, but it's like,
exactly.
It's like a black lipstick for people who don't actually want to wear a black
and
lipstick.
And there, my friend, is the truth. That the truth is that black.
You spoke
the truth. And that's speaking the truth. And the truth is that there are very few of us that are going to look good in a matte black lipstick, do you know, like kind of like, you know. And so the truth is yes, it's fun to be edgy, but the truth is, the real truth is, let's look at what can be. I don't mind the experience of being edgy as long as it looks flattering. I'm not gonna so in answer to your question, kind of like, anytime my products have ever done that, they've always worked. Anytime they haven't done one of those three things, they don't work. And I'm glad, because that's kind of like what keeps me, you know, interested. Like, kind of like, if you got to a point where it didn't matter, but you know what, the product, my business is at a size still. And actually I think everybody's business these days is no matter how big you are in the beauty industry, it actually really matters now that the product is actually genuinely interesting and or effective.
You've told me a lot about the history of lipstick before.
Yes.
And it wasn't always like this, where there were so many options.
No.
But you, in your new book, you talk about how lipstick got its start. Can you just take our listeners through, like, who were the first people to paint their lip?
Cleopatra was really known for her eyes than the eye makeup.
Right.
But Cleopatra really, she was kind of like the original YouTube beauty star.
Yeah.
She really was. Like, Cleopatra was really, like, serious. She was right into makeup, and really, really kind of like, if she lived in a time of now, like, she would have been, you know. So
she's like Kim Kardashian.
She's totally Kim Kardashian.
Oh my god,
she's totally
Kim. Look like her in that photo, right?
So it goes all the way back, like 3,000 years ago.
It goes back, but it goes back before that, because it's really, when you think about it, and kind of like, and this is kind of, it goes back to prehistoric times, you know, in terms of like painting and adorning yourself, in terms of in rituals of sort of mating rituals and all sorts of stuff, like kind of like. Like, it's really, it's one of the few things that we as women do today that kind of like you can trace right back through to prehistoric times. So that goes right back instead of like painting. So Cleopatra really seemed to take it out of the, like, so before Cleopatra, I think it was very primal. It was more sort of prehistoric, you know, kind of practice of sort of painting and, you know, your face and doing all that kind of stuff. And then Cleopatra made it not fashionable, but she kind of made it sort of, she really sort of took it to another level of sort of like really making it part of her sort of presence and part of her persona. And then who made it fashionable, though, was Elizabeth I. Yes, Queen Elizabeth I.
Oh, her with the shaved forehead lady.
With the shaved forehead lady. And which I just bought a
Kate Blanchett, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
I love that. AKA Kate Blanchett. Even the sequel was good. Sequels are rarely good.
Yeah,
even the sequel was good.
Well, like Kate Blanchett in beautiful dresses. I mean, it's like, you know.
What was her look?
And Elizabeth the First.
Yeah, her lip gloss.
So she was the first person. So she wore red lipstick at a time when kind of like it was not considered, because then red lipstick was considered throughout many periods in history. Red lipstick in particular was considered sort of something that, you know, you only did if you were an actress or a lady of the night, you know.
And so if the queen is wearing lipstick.
So the queen, so she really brought it.
Respect.
She brought it into the red lipstick into fashion. And then the next big thing in lipstick was kind of the cinema. So when the movies started and Clara Bow and like all those silent movies, and they wore the, you know, they did all those crazy, they put that stuff in their eyes that made their eyes look, do you know what I mean? And then they push.
Are you talking about belladonna?
Yeah, like whatever it was that they put in their eyes, it made their pupils
expand. And this was all because, you know, it was black and white then, and they needed to accentuate.
Exactly. Mm. And so they would wear that really dark. So it was really 1920s, because the 1920s, the flappers in the 1920s, you know, they were kind of like they were sort of like the equivalent of sort of like the Sex and the City, like kind of like, like emancipated women who are dancing and taking
men
home.
Was there commercial lipstick available then?
No, the commercial lipstick happens, it's in the 30s, and it was Guerlain. And it was kind of something to do, that was when, and they were push-up, they weren't wind-up, and then I think it was
Guerlain. What do you mean push-up? Like
you push.
It's like a push-pop.
You push the lipstick up, you didn't wind.
Oh, it wasn't twist.
It wasn't a mechanism. I mean, it is like kind of like, I can't remember exactly, in 1884, Guerlain actually created the first commercial lipstick.
1884.
So, sorry, it was then, but it didn't really hit the market until cinema.
Right.
And then everybody wanted to start wearing, that's when Max Factor hit with pancake makeup.
Right.
It was really the cinema that got makeup off the stage and into our own bathrooms.
You collect some of this stuff, right?
I have an enormous collection of me and what's her name? Lisa Eldridge.
Yes, she has got a big collection.
She's probably got, I'm sure hers is, probably got a large collection of mine, especially, but we both do. Lisa Eldridge.
Collect vintage cosmetics and compacts.
And it's funny because I've been really, really pushing my powers that be at work to kind of sort of let me bring back some of the things that I found. But, you know, from the point of view of like the cost of manufacturing them.
What are some of the cool things from back in the day?
All amazing. They're so ingenious because they're all. Did either of you come to my velvet robe launch? No.
Yes.
No. Okay. Do you remember? I had a lot of them on display.
But we're on a podcast, so you have to help us visualize.
Okay. So I don't know if you remember that there was a display of all the vintage things. And what's really fascinating is from an anthropological point of view, especially in the 40s and the 30s, all the ones that were like kind of where you had little sections for different things.
The makeup compacts.
Yeah. They're not makeup. They were kind of like things that I've got ones where you kind of like they hang from your wrist.
Oh, like a little purse of the night.
Yes. It's kind of like a purse of the night. The lady of the night, and it's but they're almost like a smartphone. They're like sort of like some kind of like a smartphone in terms of like you open them up and then there's a section where the lipstick comes out of, and then there's the powder, and then there's always the cigarette case.
Sounds like a Swiss Army knife sort of thing.
So a lot of those. So what's really interesting is like kind of like how sort of nifty they were, for want of a better word. You know, everything, each piece of all that, all the like it was sort of very futuristic in a funny way. Like things that had sort of like, you know, little secret compartments and all this kind of stuff that's sort of gone away, and I'd love to bring all that back.
As you were telling us about the different looks of, you know, the stars over the years, like what do you think of the looks now for, you know,
celebrities and, you know, you don't have to speak to a certain person, but, like, I don't know, as you were showing me, like, Elizabeth One and
Cleopatra and Clara Bow.
Like, what's exciting now? I feel like slightly underwhelmed.
I guess, you know, it is a little bit. I mean, I think what's exciting now is kind of when somebody is more the people that you see in the street. You know, I don't think, I really don't. It's not so much the people that you see in the new, you know, the celebrities. Like, I just think what's exciting now is that you just really see. You know, because a lot of women of all ages kind of like just taking a lot more chances with kind of what they're, you know, wearing more patterns. I mean, there was a time here when I was in New York in like 2005, 2006 that I just did two things that kind of like only grannies did. I wore red lipstick and I wore leopard print and I wore them together. And it was kind of like me and kind of like, you know, like there was me and sort of the grannies on the Upper West Side. Yeah. And that was it. You know, kind of like there's like the, what's exciting now is to see that people kind of, women are sort of embracing exuberance again in their, you know, you know, and that's exciting.
How do we feel about the exuberant lips we've been seeing? Yeah. You're a lip person. The fillers on social media and younger women getting lip filler, does that bug you as a lipstick guru?
Well, it's kind of like, I don't...
I'm not putting words... Like, sure.
No, no, I mean, like, it, what bugs me is kind of the... trend, like is the fact that when you look at sort of the beauty standard, where that sort of beauty standard of those big lips and this and that, and all, it's actually come through from the porn side of things. So what bugs me is really the origin of it.
They
do you
don't
know
even
what
realize
I mean?
Though.
Yeah, like kind of that's what bugs me.
It doesn't
me.
Feel empowering. It feels like it's
no,
for...
no, it doesn't. But you know, but the fact is kind of like I'm not going to. I really am not here to judge or kind of like you know sort of like in terms of here in terms of on this earth, you know, or in this career. But I just think it's more like kind of like
such
like
a
when
good
you,
person.
when
Jess and I'll do the judging like, for you.
Oh, I am
that's
here.
What you, well, that's what you do. But the you know so in terms of so it's more sort of like what bugs me is kind of like the subliminal sort of like yeah, like sure, when you trace yeah. it back to its origins, it's coming from a pretty gross place.
And what about this year? We've seen so many matte lipsticks. I mean, you started out with like. Highly pigmented lipsticks, but what do you think of these liquid mattes that are everywhere?
I think that it's become, I sort of ignored it for a long time because I love the lipstick bullet, you know, I love the classic. Mm-hmm.
You're just like waiting for it to end.
You know,
I sort of ignored it for a long time.
But I just did it. I just put my toe in it and my two cents in. And it's I've done it in my way. Like, okay. Because I do feel that this liquid lipstick is something that is not a fad in terms of maybe the colours and but the actual form of it. I think a lot of women really, really like wearing liquid lipstick, you know. So it took me a while to sort of step into that category.
What do you think you did different with your liquid lipstick? Is it called?
It's called Famous Last Words. It's long lasting, and the names of things like Rosebud, which is the last word in Citizen Kane.
Oh my
Kane,
god, that's a good one.
You know, all
you're
this.
So cerebral with your names. I love it. Like it can never just be like Blushing Rose.
Rosebud from Citizen Kane. It's the last word. Rosebud. Although I'm not that brave because you know I could also do Apocalypse Now, the horror.
Is that the last words in Apocalypse Now?
Oh my god, you are dark.
the horror.
So a lot of women are scared of bold lipsticks, as I'm sure you've heard a million times in your career.
Yes.
What's your advice for when you're trying on a new lip color? Like, how do you want a woman to do it?
Yes. So I think the key thing, and actually this is sort of one of the points in the book, is that if you're going for a bold lip color and you're not used to it, please put the lip color on before you put your eye makeup on. Because what a lot of women do is that they've got whatever their normal eye makeup is for them, whatever that is with their nude lip or with their, you know, kind of like very casual lip, whatever. And then they do their eye makeup and then they, you know, the same way, whatever they're doing with their eye makeup, then they go and put on a bold lipstick and they feel like it's too much, you know what I mean? But,
right.
But it's not the lipstick, it's just the combination may feel too much for them. So if they put the bold lipstick on first, then do their eye makeup, they'll kind of like naturally sort of like be able to sort of know adjust when enough as you're is looking enough. At yourself. And then you sort of go, oh, okay, I can do a bold lip, but not many women can do a bold lip and a bold eye. And right. most women are doing more around their eye. Then when they match it with a bold lip, they sort of shock themselves out of it.
And you mentioned to look in a full length mirror, which I thought was interesting.
And I did, because that's the other thing too. It's kind of like so many of us, when so many women, you know, because I mean, I've
or
been.
Or we look in our phone camera even.
Yeah, like you look at that, and you've got to actually look at the effect. Like lipstick really, really has an effect on your whole outfit. Do you know what I mean? Like, so like you, or your whole kind of like, so you really step back before, don't just look and decide if something, a lipstick suits you in like in a mirror
in
on your phone.
Up, yeah.
Step back and look in a full length mirror.
Yeah, I think this lipstick changed my posture. I'm wearing Rosebud right now.
Yes, you are.
It actually does feel pretty good. It does have more slip than the average.
Yeah. It's
matte.
Elastic.
You can it feels good. Yeah. And I actually didn't prep with lip balm before, which is what I do with all my lipsticks now, because something is happening to my lips right now. I think it's the winter.
Yeah, and a lot of those formulas.
Here's my cue. What do you recommend people? Because you have a lot of like really lovely pigmented lipsticks, mm-hmm. especially the one I just put on. What's your like tips for lip prep?
Well, you know, on the whole, I think that kind of if you find that a lipstick, that your lips are really not in great shape, then the best thing to do is really to take a break, you know, and I do from it for a while. Like, it's very hard to sort
like
of
if
get,
I'm chapped, I can't yeah. walk my
those
way
are not words I wanted to
washcloth
hear.
Washcloth business and all that, you're not a fan?
The other, but, I mean, that's
your
the best
honesty.
Thing. Yeah, but the best thing, or the other thing to do, you know, the best thing to do if you're chapped or if you've got dry, flaky, is the tooth, is have a spare, get a spare toothbrush.
Do that.
And just circle around on your lips. That just really takes off all the, but you know, lip balm.
Dry toothbrush. On what, like on damp lips?
No, just on
dry lips.
On dry lips, it just takes off the, and then a little bit of lip balm and then do it again and it just takes off the, it just sort of exfoliates. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I think I think the most important thing is kind of to, you know, if you're going to put on a lip prep, you know, like preferably your lipstick shouldn't have to prep. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm the believer that kind of like if a product's doing its job, then it should be doing less steps. But I would say a lip balm like that doesn't change the texture. So a chapstick or something that's kind of like
waxy, good old school chapstick.
Exactly.
And then any tips for like application, like of lipstick?
Straight from the tube, you know. I think
I mean, that you're not fussing with a little brush.
No. The brush, only if you want to shear something out, but kind of like, you know, I really, really feel like, you know, my sort of job as a sort of lipstick enthusiast is to try to make it simpler, not more complicated. So I design them to go straight from the tube.
Cool.
So we're coming to the end here. If you had to,
so depressing,
pick one lip look that is the poppy lip look, what would you go with?
I mean, it's, you know, it's red lipstick. I mean, to me, red lipstick, you know, and I think I said in the book as well that kind of red lipstick is kind of like to women what a sports car is to men. You know, like we all turn our heads when we see red lipstick. You know?
What's your red of choice? You have a couple, right?
Well, Red Sinner is my kind mm-hmm. of everyday, you know, and I think the thing is it's not, it's just because there is just something so incredibly, it's just really tells you, it just shows the world that you are here and you're ready to participate and, you know, you're all in. You know what I mean?
Yes.
All in.
I love that. You're all in.
You're all in.
I want to end the interview there, but now I want to know her other products too.
Just say them quickly.
Like what else, other than Lipstick Queen, amazing lipstick.
Oh, did you know, what do you want me to spill?
I
want to
see what's in your
bag. Yeah, okay. You got this little like, you know, what is this, a needle point bag?
It's a needle point bag.
With
a
tortoiseshell handle.
With a tortoiseshell handle with that snap. A little brush set of one.
Oh, it cosmetics. Travel size, very cute.
Travel size, right? So you've got the, you know, whatever. Luckily for me, it tells you what they do. Visine. A secret project I'm working on. I didn't even.
It doesn't look like a lip product.
No, it's a. Well, it is, but I'll just. So there's that. A Mason Pearson brush. A Red Sinner, always.
Red lipstick says you're all in.
The end.
I love that.
Jess. It's time to get raw. Do you know what I mean? Raw. You know what I just realized? Raise a Wand is an acronym for raw.
Oh, my God. I thought you were talking about, like, raw
Worldwide Wrestling.
No! But I just realized that this week when we say Raise a Wand. I know.
I love it. Can we like start doing that?
Yeah, let's get raw.
Yeah, let's. Yeah, I like that better than the song now.
I know, because I'm sick of us trying to sing.
Yeah, I think the audience is too. Sorry.
Okay, so what did you bring to Raise a Wand to?
Okay, I'm getting raw with an essential oil.
So raw. Sorry.
So one of like my things that I've been cultivating right now in my home space and even my workspace is an aura of calm.
Yeah.
And before bedtime, I like to put a couple of drops of aromatherapy blends relax on a tissue and put it in my pillowcase. Now, I think we've talked about this. I don't have like super nice pillow. I mean, like we both talked about our love for
You just went pillow shopping.
I just go pillow shopping. And I, you know, I listen, if you have like Frette pillowcases that you think are like freaking amazing, I don't suggest you like start dabbing essential oils on them. So like, you know, just be mindful.
But your tissue trick would be
my
good.
My tissue trick is amazing. I take a couple of drops of the aromatherapy blends in Relax. They're actually, the brand is Everyone by EO. You can get this at Whole Foods.
And Target, they're sold out
Target too. Thank you. Drop a couple of things on a tissue and then I pop it into the pillowcase in between my like new fluffy, amazing pillow. And just like a normal pillowcase with the brand that we love, Brooklinen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it doesn't stain the pillowcase. I don't super saturate it. And then my pillow is just like really lovely and smelly. Not smelly, like scented.
And what is in the Relax blend? I'm assuming some lavender, right?
I think it has lavender. Hold on. That's it.
Wait.
Yeah, it's totally lavender. Opening.
And maybe some other stuff too. Great. Raise a Wand. I'm going to do the tissue thing because I always just like sort of rub it on my hands and breathe in.
No. You don't want to put this on your hands. It's like, this is pure. And we'll talk about this in a future episode. You don't want to put a pure essential oil on your hands.
So on the tissue.
Especially if you touch your eyes. I actually like burnt my cornea. That sounds harsh, but I could have had to have eye drops for like 3 weeks. Yet don't put essential oils on your hands. Put it on the thing and then wash your hands and go to bed.
Okay.
I also like to keep one of these by my desk. And I like to inhale whenever I'm feeling a little stressed.
Nice.
It's all about an aura of calm.
You ready for mine?
I'm ready, Jen.
There you go. I just pulled produce out of my bag. I'm raising a wand to clementines. Because when other than this time of year can I raise a wand to citrus? I will tie it back to beauty. Please hold. You look so confused.
Is this like a vitamin C thing?
Maybe, but let me just say about my love for the clementine.
Okay.
These little oranges, it doesn't have to be halo people. They peel so easily. They're so juicy. There's no seeds. It's like a little, I'm like a candy person. And in the winter, I feel like I'm so much healthier because every time I think I want sugar or candy, I just have a clementine. I go through one of those crates like a week, easy. My one lower wand is that there's always like a couple duds in one of the crates. You know, like they're all delicious. And then there's one that like just
tasteless.
Doesn't. Yeah. What's that about?
I don't know.
Anyway, tying it back to beauty, a clementine is like a perfect little beauty, like powerhouse supplement shot. You get your vitamin C, you get some fiber.
I feel like you were hanging out with Ola Henriksen too long.
What's that? Who doesn't like a clementine? I'm raising a wand to clementines. It's
happening. I'm bringing in an old boot next week.
Shut up. Fine, whatever.
No,
I was trying to change it up.
I like it, though. I like it. And it's a nutritious food, and it is naturally gorgeous, and it's a chic, like, snack.
It's such a chic snack. Don't mess up your manicure. It opens so easily.
Okay, I can
it's
get
a
behind
It's
this.
A beauty snack. All right, like raise a wand. We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode, so I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at Fat Mascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.